Reading from the book of Romans, chapter 12, the first two verses. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." It was back in 1976 when I turned 16 years old. And when I turned 16 years old, on the day that I turned 16 years old, guess what I did? Got my driver's license, like we all like to do, right? Well, after I had been 16 years old for several weeks, my daddy got me a car. Now, you have to remember, I'm the youngest of four boys. The only reason that I'm here today is because my parents aren't quitters. The only reason I'm here today is because they were bound and determined to have a girl. And I'm supposed to be Melissa. So if you ever say the name Melissa and I turn my head, don't be surprised. That's what I was supposed to be. But a few weeks after I turned 16, my dad got me a car. And he had never gotten my other brothers a car, not like this one at least. So I don't know if he did this out of love or just out of guilt for the fact that the only reason I'm here is because I was supposed to be Melissa. I don't know. But he got me this 1971 MGB ragtop convertible orange sports car. And let me tell you what, me and Rhonda, we looked good in it. We looked sharp in that little car. I had that car for about 4 years, and after about 4 years, I was 20 years old then, and I decided, you know, I need an adult car. I need a grown-up car. I've got my own money now. I need to go get my own car. And so I went to my dad, and I asked him, well, where should I go and find a car? And he said, go down to Sonny Hancock Chevrolet down there in Gastonia on Franklin Boulevard, and they'll help you with finding a car. They've got a big selection there. So I went down to Sonny Hancock Chevrolet, and this is my first time buying a car, so I was going to make the most of it. As soon as I got on the car lot, of course, a salesman came up to me. I think I remember his name being Joe. I can't be assured of that, but I think that's what his name was. So me and Joe started looking for cars, and I was going to make the most of it. So I walked down every single aisle of cars. I looked at every single car on that car lot. I looked at the pickup trucks for 1980, the Chevrolet pickup trucks. I looked at the Citations. I looked at the Malibus. I looked at the Corvettes even. I looked at the Chevettes even. I looked at every car in that lot. And as I was going through, I was telling Joe, I'd like to test drive this one. And I'd like to test drive this one. And I picked out about 12 cars to test drive. So we started on our test driving journey. After I had been through the whole lot, we went on our test driving journey. And after about the eighth or ninth test drive, I could tell Joe was getting a little antsy. Me and Joe had been together for about 3.5 hours at this time. And Joe was getting a little tired of helping me. I at least in my heart, I kind of suspected that maybe Joe had just about had enough. And after test driving about that ninth car, Joe looked over at me and he said, listen, he said, are you serious? He said, are you gonna make an offer? Or are you just browsing? Are you just here just to browse and kick the tires and pretend and play like you're going to do something? Or are you really going to make an offer? Are you really going to do something? Are you really going to be serious about this? Now, I was a little set back by what Joe said to me. I mean, here I am. I'm a 20-year-old legitimate buyer of a car. I'm of age. I've got money for down payment. I've got credit. I'm old enough to buy my own vehicle. I've got everything about me. All the traits about me say that I'm a guy that is capable of buying a car. Why would you say that to me? So when he asked that question, though, I got to thinking that, yeah, he could probably go help somebody else if I got when it went on with it. And so I got serious. And I said, okay, Joe, I'm going to make you an offer. I'm going to make you an offer on this 1980 Carolina Blue. Carolina Blue, Chevy Chevette. And I did. And you wouldn't believe it. Joe's attitude changed radically. When I went from being just a person who was browsing to this person who was serious and this person who was maybe even going to purchase something, Joe's attitude changed dramatically. He went from this guy who felt like I was wasting his time and just getting aggravated with me to this person who is Joe the salesman excited. I've got a buyer. I've got somebody that's making an offer. I've got somebody that's going to do something. So I made him this serious offer. And when I did, I kind of crossed over this threshold with him. I went from being just a browser to a buyer. I went from being a guy who wasn't so serious about everything, even though I had all the traits of being a car buyer, who wasn't so serious about being a car buyer, to a guy that in his mind was willing to make an offer, was willing to pay the money, was willing to buy a car, was willing to do whatever it took, and he was willing to work with me. I went from browser to a guy offering. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, in view of God's mercies, make an offer. In view of God's mercies, offer up something. Paul had just finished going through the first 11 chapters where he talked about all of God's mercies. The freedom from death in chapter 5, the freedom from sin in chapter 6, the freedom from the law in chapter 7, God's gifts of the Spirit in chapter 8. The fact that God says that nothing can separate you from God's love, absolutely nothing. Nothing can possibly separate you, not powers, not principalities, not evils, not demons, not things present, not things to come. Nothing can separate you from God. Nothing can separate you from His love. Paul had gone through and given all of this about God's mercies, and then he says, in view of this, in view of these mercies of God, in view of who God is and what God has done for you, I ask you, are you ready to make an offer? Are you ready to get serious about this? Paul says, if you believe all of this, if this is all stuff that you've got and these are all your characteristics and this is your traits of who you are, if you believe all these things, then it's time to get serious. It's time to make an offer. It's time to get serious with your faith. Stop being a browsing Christian who, yeah, believes these things and start being somebody that's willing to make an offer. Offer yourselves, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Holy and pleasing to God. This is the way that you worship God. Offer God a sacrifice of yourself. Not that you're going to have to go up on a mountain and be sacrificed. It's a living sacrifice. Offer yourself up every day, Paul says. Offer yourself up to God and say, God, I'm ready. I want to be that sacrifice. I believe in you. I have faith in you. I want to put my faith into action. I want to make an offer. The truth is, if you think about it, that's exactly what we just experienced in these waters behind me. We just experienced through baptism individuals going from browsing to having the faith to stand up and say, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is my personal Lord and Savior. And because I believe that Christ is my personal Lord and Savior, I want to be baptized just like Jesus was. I want to be a part of that faith. I want to go from being a browser to someone who's willing to make an offer every day with my life to Jesus Christ and become this baptized Christian. See, a baptized Christian is a person who's taking this faith and putting it to action. And we know what faith is without that action. Yeah, doesn't do much. A baptized Christian is the person who's willing to take their faith and offer up themselves and put that faith into action. A baptized Christian has crossed over this threshold, just like I crossed over with Joe, from a browsing Christian to a serious person who is serious about their faith and who's serious about what they do with their lives every day and how they live their lives every day and the convictions they have in their lives every day. The baptized Christian has offered up that old self every day, and you have to do it every day because we take it back, taking that old self and offering up that old self and watching it die. And it be okay, because we know there's a resurrection coming. There's a resurrection coming to this new creation. We just have to offer ourselves up as this living sacrifice. The baptized Christian is a part of this kingdom of priests. They're a part of this holy nation that it talks about in the Old Testament. The baptized Christian worships God through offering themselves to God every day of their lives. Because you know why? This is how you worship God. I mean, we come in here to worship God, but let's face it, we're here an hour a week. Doesn't God deserve a little more worship than that? You can worship God every day with your life. By being that living sacrifice, by being that baptized Christian, by being that person who says, God, this morning I offer myself to you. I sacrifice this day to you. Kill my old self. I don't care about that. I want to serve you with my life. Because you see, the baptized Christian isn't concerned with browsing anymore. The baptized Christian wants to serve in a serious way and make an offer. Verse 2, he goes on to say, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The baptized Christian follows a different pattern in life. The baptized Christian follows a different pattern of this world, not the pattern that man sets in this world. A baptized Christian does not follow the patterns of this world that man says, these patterns of that it's about money or that it's about stuff or it's about buying things in this time of year. You know, we kind of get really caught up in that, and that's okay. It's good to have stuff. I got some stuff, and I want to keep my stuff. But the baptized Christian isn't involved in money and in stuff and in greed and in power and in prestige and in position and all these things that the world wants to say are the really most important things. The baptized Christian walks in a different walk. The baptized Christian walks with a different kind of step. Because you see, the baptized Christian has this peace that no one can explain. That's beyond understanding. The baptized Christian has this joy that's unspeakable, unable to be described, because it's on the inside and the mess that's going on in this world can't touch it. It can't affect it. The baptized Christian has this heart for even the least, for the people that this world wants to forget and push away and push under the rug and say, oh, they don't exist. The baptized Christian has a heart for those people. The baptized Christian doesn't follow this world's pattern. The baptized Christian follows Christ's pattern, because the baptized Christian puts on that mind. Let me look at the world through Jesus' eyes, not through these worldly eyes. Let me see that person as Jesus sees them. That's how you see value in the least of these. Let me see that person as Jesus sees them. That's how you don't judge them by the way they look or the way they dress. The baptized person has on that mind of Christ and lives with that mind of Christ. And every day the baptized Christian gets up and says, yes, I'm not browsing anymore. I'm ready to live my life for Jesus Christ, and I'm going to do that every day, and I'm going to do everything I can to offer myself as this living sacrifice to you, God. I sacrifice myself to you, and I want you to use me today. You know, that should really be our prayer every morning. When you wake up every morning, If you're someone who's ready to stop browsing as a Christian and ready to start really focusing your faith on what you can do with your life, that should be our prayer. God, you've given me another day. I surrender myself to you. Kill the old me. Use the new me. Let the new me be someone who can make a difference. Help me to follow your pattern, Christ. Help me to be as Jesus in this world. You know, we can't look like Jesus if we're just browsing. We can't. We have to give ourselves to him every day. Don't allow yourself to waste each day just browsing. Be serious about your faith, as these four people are serious about their faith. Remember your baptism. Remember what that meant to you. Remember how that changed you. Remember how that affected you. Remember what that means to you the rest of your life. And I was explaining to these that we were in the back hallway before this baptism. You'll remember this day for the rest of your life, because it will change your life forever, because it was on this day that your old self died and you became this new creation. It's not going to happen by browsing. It's going to happen by offering ourselves every single day as that living sacrifice. Let's bow and let's have a prayer together. Father, may you forgive us, God, me included, for the times when I allow myself to get caught up in the patterns of this world. I allow myself to get caught up in doing the things that I shouldn't be doing with my life, and just being a browsing Christian, just bebopping through life. God, help us to be serious. Help us to be serious about our Christian faith. Help us to be serious about our Christian walk. God, we know the world will not understand, but you know that's okay, because it's just who we are. We're Jesus's. We've given ourselves to Jesus. God, may you bless us as we strive to live in that way, individually, as a church, to serve in that way, seeing this world and each other through your eyes. Thank you, Father, for this time. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of commitment this morning is hymn number 277.